Good evening. And welcome to the Grace of Calvary Baptist Church. And we are happy to be here tonight in the house of God. And it's always a blessing to be able to preach and share with the church the Word of God. And thank you for God's mercies. If it wasn't for the Lord, I just don't know where I would be right now. I would be either dead or in prison or maybe on the streets. But Jesus came one day and changed all of that. It was March 24, 1999. That's a lot of years already. And praise God for that. And he has blessed me and given me power to live for him. It hasn't been an easy road. Nobody said it would be. In fact, he didn't promise that to anyone. What he promised was his presence. And I praise God for that. That's sufficient, right? That's enough. I always remember those three Hebrews that were thrown into the fire. And the Bible says that when they came out, not even the clothes smelled like smoke. And that's a blessing. That's the God that we have. The same God that those three Hebrews had is the one that we have. And praise God for that. And again, it's a blessing for me to be here tonight. And let me see here. Tonight's message is going to be a short one, I promise. Last time I preached, I said that, and it took me an hour. But it's not going to be like that tonight, okay? Simple message, okay? But I think that the things that we're going to be mentioning are extremely important for each and every one of us. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 16, and we're going to read verse 13. Genesis 16 and verse 13. And we're going to use this verse as a starting point to speak about the subject that I want to speak about tonight, which is the subject of God's eyes. God's eyes. The Bible teaches that God's eyes are always aware and looking everything that goes on in this world, in your life, in my life, and I want to look into that tonight just a little bit. Genesis chapter 16 and verse 13 says, and she, speaking about Hagar, she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercies, your blessings. Thank you for the opportunity of being here tonight in your house. And thank you for the blessing that is to be in the church house. And to gather here and to know that you are in the midst of us. And I ask for your blessing in everything that will be said tonight. And I just ask you to bless the families, the members of the church. Bless those who are watching live stream or listening on the radio. I just pray that the Holy Spirit uses me tonight and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So Genesis 16:13, and basically what he's speaking about here is that Hagar, so basically going back into a little bit of context, Hagar was the servant of Sarai, which was Abraham's wife, and Abraham, I'm not sure whose idea was it. Apparently, it was Sarai's idea. They couldn't have a child They just wouldn't wait on the Lord. And they had their own idea of getting a baby their own way. And we all know the story. But what ended up happening with that is, as after Abraham, the Bible said that when was together with Hagar, she conceived. And the results of that was that Hagar started looking at her Sarai in a way that it was displeasing to Sarai. She just was looking in an unfavorable way, and Sarai just didn't like that, and she basically started treating the wrong way her servant. Now I think about this, and if you think why Hagar was looking with a wrong, you know, a way that it wasn't pleasing to Sarai, Hagar probably didn't want no son, and she probably didn't want to, you know, get together with Abraham, but because that was Sarai's wish, that's what ended up happening. So Sarai started being mean to her and treating her bad, and Hagar basically couldn't take it anymore, and she ended up leaving. And you can imagine, of course, and already the child Ishmael, he was already, he was a boy. She left with her son, and she was in the desert, and she basically thought that she was going to die in the desert with her son. And that's when the angel of the Lord appeared to her and talked to her and just promised her some things that we can see in the Bible, and basically told her to go back. And that's when she said, thou art the God that seest me. And basically what I got from that hit story was that he's always looking at us. He knows what's going on in our lives. And that led me to search into some scriptures that speak about God seeing things in our lives. And that's going to take me to my first point. And please go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9. And the Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him, hearing thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars." So we see on this verse that every activity on this world is under the watchful eye of God. He's always seeing everything. And that is the true all-seeing eye. Okay? There's a philosophy in this world, which is a Luciferian philosophy. Basically, it's a satanic philosophy. And they teach that their God has the all-seeing eye. But when they say that, they're referring to Lucifer. That is scary. But we know who the real all-seeing eye, you know, just to use as an example, who's the one that has the real seeing eye, which is our God. These doctrines are predicated in this planet, and these are doctrines that are based on the teaching of the Luciferian doctrine. There's people in this planet that actually believe that Satan is the good guy. You can do some reading or some searching and on the internet, or reading some books, and you will see that is a reality. Okay, people that are deceived, they They think that the good guy in the Garden of Eden was Lucifer, and that, you know, God the Father was a mean God that didn't want man to have knowledge and all that stuff. So it's a false doctrine. But we as Christians, we do know who is the true all-seeing eye, or which eye is that, which is God's. We Christians know for sure that that is not so, the Luciferian doctrine, but the true God, which sees everything, which is our God. The Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." That's what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. The devil is not all-seeing. He is limited in his existence, and he has limited knowledge, limited presence, limited power, and limited accessibility in this world and in human affairs. So he can only go as far as God lets him go. Okay? And we can see that in the Bible. But the one true Almighty God, who is all-powerful, can see everything in this world. Now, in the context of the text that I just read, King Asa did not understand this truth about God being the Almighty God who sees everything. So basically what happened was that King Asa had some trouble with other kings, and he basically went and got help from pagan kings, and he made an alliance, and then they went on to war, and that was displeasing to God. And that's why the prophet went and talked to King Asa and told him these words. Verse 9 again says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." So it was foolish for him not to consider God first and go and consider to get help in other places. Now this word foolish in the Hebrew language is the word sahel. And this is what this word means. It translates as done foolishly, turn into foolishness, make foolish, and play the fool. So basically, anybody that does not consider God is a fool. We need to understand that he is always present. We need to understand that he is always looking at our affairs or the affairs of this planet. And not acknowledging that truth is foolishness. So I think I don't know if this happens to you, but we can all forget that God is, you know, we're in the presence of God every now and then. I don't know if this has happened to you, but it has happened to me. I mean, let's be honest. How many this has happened to? Okay, all right. I guess that is normal up to a certain point. We're humans, we're sinners, saved by grace, and we're going to sin against God. But if something like that happens to us, we always have the opportunity of coming back to the presence of God and just, you know, ask for forgiveness and pray to our God, and he will restore us. But there are those that stay on the foolishness side of things, and they don't consider God. And they become like this king, and they start looking elsewhere for help in their daily affairs. And that is a sin. The Bible says in Psalms 14:1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." So ignoring God is foolishness. Either somebody is an atheist and he doesn't believe in God, or a Christian is not considering God and ignoring God, that is foolishness. And that is something that we need to be aware of, because if we are foolish in terms of the presence of God, the existence of God, the way that God wants to deal with us, that's going to get us into a lot of trouble. So he's always seen everything that happens in this planet. So what you do in secret at home, he sees you. What I do in secret at home, he sees me. And that is something that we all need to consider. And I don't know about you, but I think that we could all fall into that category. If you don't, then you must be an alien out of this world. But if you're a human being, you're a sinner, and you fall into this category. And we need to be careful with these things that we do. Remember, God's eyes are always looking at every man's affairs. So we as fathers, what we do at home, he's watching us with our kids. As husbands, what we do at home, he's watching us. As wives, I'm not a wife, but as wives, what he sees you doing, what you do, he is looking at you. As moms, same thing. So everybody, and the young guys, kid, where's the kids today?
Right here.
How old are you? Yeah. But I mean, young people, he sees what they do. If they don't want to pick up their trash from the room, or the other day, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but my son, he went to college, and I went to his room to clean it, and spent a lot of time in there. He had this secret spot below the bed. I didn't find anything bad. It's just that, you know, messy. Okay. But bottom line is that everything that we do is under the eye of the all-seeing God. So I would suggest, and I will encourage each and every one of us tonight, that from now on, if we are faulting in some type of behavior at home, we need to change that tonight. Because God is seeing us. You know, that should be enough for me to change my life, knowing that God is watching me. The Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." Listen what Jeremiah 23:24 says. "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him?" There's no way. Doesn't matter where you put your head. He's going to find you. He's going to see you. It says the Lord, "Do not I fill heaven and earth?" Saith the Lord. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So there's no way that you can hide from him. There's no way that I can hide from him. So I guess that I have to get my life right with God and start doing the right thing. God sees everything, and he will be the judge of each and every one of us for our works. And I'm talking about Christians, and I'm talking about the unsaved. Of course, that's going to be two completely different judgments, but we're going to be judged. And I am not going to go into that now, but we're all going to be judged by our works. Ecclesiastes 12:14, that's a Bible in the book. I mean, that's a book in the Bible. I said it. That's a book in the Bible. Ecclesiastes. Great book. 12:14. "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So I suspect that there's a lot of Christians that do evil things, and they need to stop, because he's going to be judged by God. So the first point is that God's eyes are, you know, this world. I mean, he sees everything. He knows about all the abuses that goes on. He knows about all the human trafficking, the drug dealing, the murders, everything. He knows everything. And nobody, no one will get away with their sin. Either in this life or in the next, everybody's going to give account of their sins. There are books in heaven where everything is being recorded. Everything. And humans, man, will have to give account to God. So let's think about that. He sees everything. Now, the second point that I want to speak about is in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, which is the eyes of God are upon the righteous. And now we are talking more specifically about Christians. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. Please go with me. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. If I can find it. Here it is. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now remember, this is talking about the righteous ones, Christians. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Psalm 34, 15. It's the same passage. In this context, when we read this context, God is watchful in order to hear and answer prayer. So he's watching Christians because he wants to hear their prayers. And of course, after that, what comes? Answer to prayer. If you pray to God, if I pray to God, there will be an answer of prayer at some point in our Christian lives. Maybe you can wait one day for a prayer answered, maybe 1 week, maybe 10 years, maybe 20, 30 years, but he will answer it. That's his promise. I don't know about you, but I believe that God answers prayers to me on a daily basis. Because every day I ask God, please bring me back home and my family, and we do. So that's an answer to prayer. Now, you know, I've been asking God for some money, but don't we all do, right? He will always give you what you are able to manage. He will never give you something that is going to destroy you. So in the context of what we just read, God is watchful in order to hear and answer prayer. If you have been born again and you are a new creature in Christ, he is listening to you. Now again, this is for Christians. It's if a person has not been born again, he or she is not a Christian. And if they don't get saved, when they die, they will go to hell. So if somebody here is not sure that they're saved, or somebody that is watching is not sure that they're saved, maybe tonight is the time to get, you know, that clear off and just get right with God. Because the Bible says that he does not guarantee us a tomorrow. What he does guarantee is that if we repent of our sins, he will save us. And the good thing about that is that once we are saved, we stay safe for all eternity. You see, I am not going to have eternal life when I die. I got eternal life since 17, 18 years ago when I received Jesus as my Savior. And I became a child of God. And I know for sure that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of things that I will doubt in my mind. I never doubt that. Never. Because I know who have I put my trust in, which is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you're saved and you have been born again, then you start having a relationship with Jesus Christ, and then he starts listening to your prayers. Today is very common that people is always asking about prayers and asking for prayers, but people don't know God. They're just talking to the ceiling. Isn't that what the Bible said that Pharisee or publican did? No, the Pharisee. There were the publican and the Pharisee, right? And the Bible says that the publican was praying with himself. He was talking to himself. He was not talking to God. He thought he was talking to God, but he was not. And he was not justified that day. But the other man, the publican, the sinner, both of them were sinners, right? But the publican, he went to God in humility and in repentance. And the Bible says, Jesus said that justified. Thank you. Justified. So, I don't know how I got into that, but you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior in order to go to heaven. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, God starts listening to your prayers. If you are not a child of God, you will not be heard by God. The only prayer that God will hear from an unsaved person is when that person repents of his sins. God listens to our prayers. God has established a way of communication between him and us Christians, and that is prayer. You see, it used to be in the past, just like the Bible says, that there were prophets or there were other means of communication between God and man, but today it's through the Bible and prayer. And he has even given us an example of prayer in the scriptures. That prayer starts with the following words: Our Father which art in heaven, Matthew 6:9. Now, it is a good practice to learn that prayer in memory. But that prayer, you know, more than just being a prayer that we pray, is a model prayer. It's an example prayer. And we can look and see some basic principles about what we should pray to our God in that prayer. Prayer was given to us as an example of communication and for the purpose of listening. So, his eyes are upon the righteous. He's looking for what? To listen to their prayers. So, if you think that you are praying and God is not listening to you, that is the devil telling you that God is not listening to you. Just rebuke him and keep praying to God. Our context in Peter shows that Peter is exhorting the brethren to submit one to another and to be of one mind. That's what it says on the passage. Now, when we don't submit to one another and we are not of one mind, God will not answer our prayers. So if there's issues going on between the people in church, that's a hindrance. That's a problem. That's God cannot work like that in people's lives. And that is not right. We are supposed to be different from the people from outside. we are supposed to. I mean, I know that everybody has their own personalities and everybody have their own thoughts about different things. But at the end of the day, we are Christians. And we are sons and daughters of God. And we are supposed to love and care for one another. That's what the Bible says. And that's what we ought to do. When we don't submit to one another and we are not of one mind, God will not answer our prayers. He is watching in order to answer prayers. So, listen, look what the Bible says. Likewise, and this is right here on the on 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Listen to this. Likewise, 3:7, ye husbands, dwell with them according, and talking about their wives, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So it's talking specifically about the husbands and the type of relationship that they have with their wives. And this is what the Bible says about this word hinder. This word in the Greek language is the word ekopto. This is what it means. To cut off. To cut down. To cut out. To be hindered. Now what does hindered mean? Listen to this. Hindered means to make slow or difficult the progress of something. To hold back. So if I have problems with my wife and I don't settle that issue with her when I go to pray, you know what's going to happen to the answer to prayer? They will make slow or difficult the progress of my answer of prayer. And that's a very dangerous place to be. I mean, I know it's not easy. Sometimes go and, hey, honey, I'm sorry. But it's doable. Just, you know, man up, take a deep breath, and go in there. I discovered one time, it was like a miracle. And I have heard it many times, but this happened to me one time. I don't remember what was going on, but she was... And I was, what am I going to do? And I just went to her and I gave her a kiss and a hug. And it all suddenly stopped. It just stopped like that. And she all of a sudden started crying. And that attitude of defense just broke down in a second. And that day my prayers were not hindered. Now that is wisdom. She probably don't remember, but I do. So we got to be careful, because if we are not doing as the Bible says, you know, submitting to one another and of one mind, we're going to have problems with our prayers. Matthew 5:22-24 says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Excuse me. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, verse 23, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembereth that thy brother has oath against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Let me explain something. Every time you go into the presence of God in prayer, you're offering an offering. You are the offering. And there's a verse that says that is... The fruits of the lips are offerings to God.
Now, I don't know the right quote, but that's the message that is in there. So we need to get right with God. We need to, listen, at home, everybody has their position. If you are here, and you are here, and you are there, and you're there where you're supposed to be, everything will be fine. Now, sometimes this one here wants to come here, and this one wants to go there, and that's when the problem starts. So, we need to keep ourselves in prayer and seeking God and be of one mind in order for our prayers not to be hindered. Slow or difficult progress of something. Remember that. And I'm out of time. So God is not in the business of answering prayers to rebellious children of God. So he's watching, and he's watching to answer prayers. And the third point, which is the last one, is from Mark chapter 2 and verse 8, and I'm going to be very brief. The eyes of God are upon man's heart. So his eyes are upon everything that happens in the world. His eyes are upon his people, and his eyes are upon men, specifically hearts of men. This is what the Bible says, Mark 2, 8. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? So these people, these scribes, were thinking. They were reasoning in their minds. They were trying to figure out Jesus and his works. And he said, why are you reasoning in your minds? What the Bible suggests is that they were thinking about these things, but Jesus knew anyway what they were thinking because he can see the hearts of men. And he can see your heart, and he can see my heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 said, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, but for men look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looked on the heart. And if we all know that this is when God was choosing David to be king. So God knows what's in everyone's heart in any given point. He knows our good thoughts. He knows our bad thoughts. And this is why we need to keep a clean heart with God. Now, let me ask you something. What is God seeing in your heart right now? Hopefully, he's seeing a heart, paying attention to the message, right? But there's probably some hearts here that their hearts are just elsewhere for whatever reason. It might be justifiable. It might not be justifiable. The thing is that he knows what is in your heart. He knows what is in my heart. And that's why we need to keep a right heart with him. He knows the most intimate thing on our very souls. That thing that nobody knows about, he knows. He sees the heart. For the Christians, he knows the battles, the struggles. He knows what everyone is going through. He can see the heart. For the unbeliever, he knows the battle that the unbeliever has with unbelief and rejecting Christ. It's a battle. It's a spiritual battle for people. I was witnessing to three men yesterday, and they were sitting over there in the place that I was, and I sat with them, and I was just talking to them, and I kept talking about Jesus, and it never dawned on them. It's just a horrible situation. They don't understand. It's a battle. He sees the heart. He saw the hearts of these men reasoning. He sees the heart of either Christians or on unsaved people reasoning also. And that's we have to keep our hearts from reasoning. And this goes completely against what is faith. So we need to have our hearts right with God. So in conclusion, as we have mentioned, he sees everything that is going on in this planet. He sees everything that goes on with his people, his church. And he also sees each and everyone's heart and the needs of their hearts. And he wants to use you and me to be a blessing to those in need. If you're having trouble, go to your next door neighbor. He probably have it worse than you. And that is a reality. You don't know how grateful I am to God that I am not living the way that I'm supposed to be living today, because he has just been good to me. But I still have struggles in my heart, battles that I deal with on a daily basis. But he's always there, dealing with me, working with me, loving me, and being patient with me. But you know what? There always also comes a time where the door of the ark is closed. And we have to be careful with that. So he's the all-seeing God. Let's just get ourselves right with God tonight. If there's anything that, I mean, I know that God spoke to you. He spoke to me. I believe that God speaks to each and everyone who is under the preaching of the word of God. If that wouldn't be so, then he will have respect of people, and that's not God. He doesn't have respect of people. So the message is for each and every one. So if God talked to you in some point, just get right with God tonight. Just bring that situation to the Lord and just ask him for his help. And the good thing is that he will help you. And if there's anybody here tonight or watching that does not know Jesus as their Savior, the Bible says that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But the Bible also says that those that were not written in the book of life, they were cast into a lake of fire. So you got two choices. Either you receive Jesus as your Savior and be saved, be born again, become part of God's family, start living for God. Or you can just wait until you die and go to hell and spend your eternity trying to get out of there, which is never going to happen. There's no way out. And if you don't believe me, just read the Bible. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have had tonight. And I just pray that the things that we have spoken tonight may be a blessing to somebody. Reality is that we all have issues. We all have problems. We all have things in our hearts that we need to get right with you. I just pray that the Holy Spirit just keep on speaking to the hearts and touching hearts. And make us understand, Lord, that you are always seeing us. And that we as Christians are always in your presence. Just give us power to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.